Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2. Familiar, I'm sure. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who has been born of the King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." When Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go, make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way. The star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another way. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a... That's not so good. Let's do it again. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... I know you could do better than that. That's the opening lines of a delightful folk song that goes on for how many verses?
12.
Why 12? That's right. The season begins December 25, and it ended on January 6. 12 days. It's the beginning of Epiphany. Every year, it doesn't change. It's always that, 25 to 6. Now, today is the third Sunday after that Epiphany. Now, Epiphany means to manifest, to bring to light, to announce with much fanfare. Christmas is the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, the beginning. Epiphany is the time of broadcasting his birth and all that happened thereafter. It's a time of revealing. It's a time of oohs and ahs, of surprises and excitement and wonder. Now, the first focus of Epiphany is, of course, the visit of the travelers from the east, bringing gifts, the wise men, or the kings, the scholars, the magi. They came asking a question, didn't they? Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? They were searching. They had lots of unanswered questions as they traveled. How much further can this be? Are we almost there? And they had to make many important decisions in the course of their travels. Left or right? Keep going or turn back? Are we on a genuine journey or a wild goose chase? For these travelers, like any travelers, they made a big investment of time, money, energy. They had left the comfort and familiarity of home and surroundings in search of a wonderful unknown. But wait a minute. These travelers were not the only group that came to visit Jesus. There were others that very night. The shepherds, right? Shepherds. They were near Jesus. They were in the neighborhood. lucky enough to be a witness to the most significant event in history. They were in the right place at the right time. Now, these shepherds had very few decisions to make. Everything was spelled out for them. The angel appeared, told them, "Don't be afraid." Then they saw a great number of angels praising God, and they obeyed. They came and worshiped. They returned to their jobs, telling their story to whoever would listen. There's very little doubt or uncertainty about it. Now consider with me these two sets of visitors to Jesus. I think they can represent the two ways men and women, or boys and girls, have sought and found Jesus. Some of us are like shepherds. We were baptized or confirmed in our infancy or our youth, never seemed to be in doubt about what was true, what to believe. Our faith has basically been a seed planted, followed by a slow, steady growth. My mother was a shepherd. Her creed, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's her creed. Then there are others of us, like the travelers, like the kings, and they were full of questions. They faced many miles of hard traveling. Many of us are like them. We have a long list of issues that we need to be discussed and dealt with before we can commit ourselves to anything. Now, every church is full of shepherds and kings. Shepherds make kings nervous. Kings contend nothing can be that quick and easy. Faith can't be that simple. If it is, you're just kidding yourself. On the other hand, kings make shepherds frustrated. Shepherds say, "When are you finally going to commit yourself? You'll never know all the answers. We're called to trust God and obey. We're talking about faith here." Shepherds believe that kings can be overly cautious, even afraid to say, "I believe." Kings believe that shepherds can be shallow and gullible and present a holier-than-thou attitude. Every church is filled with shepherds and kings. Now, the shepherds visit Jesus Christmas night. The kings, they came much later, maybe even 2 years later. They never met each other. But I can just imagine a conversation they might have had. "Did you see the exciting angels? Did you hear their music?" "Angels? Singing?" "Of course I heard them. We all heard them. You must have heard them." "No, I didn't." "Then how did you get here?" "Well, it's a long story. We studied the stars for months. We debated among ourselves. We saved our money. We did a lot of planning. Later, we consulted the Hebrew scriptures. We even visited King Herod." "You visited King Herod? Are you sure you're supposed to be here?" "Yes, of course. He helped us. He answered a lot of questions for us. While we're on the subject, how did you get there? Well, it's like I told you. The angel appeared and told us to find a baby. More angels sang beautiful music. So we went to Bethlehem, looked for a stable and a baby in a manger. It took us all night, but we finally did. It took you just one night? Just a few hours to find Jesus? We spent months. Doesn't seem quite fair. Things come easy to some people. You get the point, I'm sure. It's God's desire that both shepherds and kings will search for him. We'll visit him. We'll worship him. We'll serve him. The roads may be different. It'll take some of us much more time. But the quest is identical. Luke 2, the shepherds hurried off, found Mary, Joseph, and the baby, who were lying in a manger, and they returned glorifying and praising God. Matthew chapter 2. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They saw the child, they bowed down and worshiped. Now, our challenge here at Union, the Congregational Church, if we're up for it, is to remember shepherds and kings are on the same journey. Jesus loves them both. Look around you. Go ahead, look around. Do you see any shepherds? You see any kings? We're all invited. We're all here together. Some of us are with deep joy and thanksgiving. Some of us with questions and reservations. Some with confidence. Some with uncertainty. If God desires that both shepherds and kings visit him, worship him, serve him, and share him. Now, Eugene Peterson points out that the key word in our text this morning is the word worship. It occurs three times. In verse 2, where is the one born of the King of the Jews? We have come to see a star. We have come to worship him. Again in verse 8, Herod sent them to Bethlehem. Go and search. When you find the report back to me so that I too may worship him. Verse 11, they found the child with his mother and they bowed down and worshiped. Now Matthew uses this word worship 13 times in his gospel, far more than any other gospel writer. The only place that's more is in the book of Revelation, where it's 24 times. Matthew is seeking to nurture the young Christian community by lifting up the marvelous thing that happens when people worship together. We read together. We sing together. We offer our gifts together. We listen together. We pray together. Our differences are set aside as we seek to focus together on God and the Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. The Savior of the world isn't just for shepherds and isn't just for kings. The difference between us is broken down in worship. Worship takes place when individuals come together as one body. As we read in 1 Corinthians 12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, they form one body. And that is where we are the most whole and healthy. Let's pray together. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the celebration of Christmas past. Now, if you're coming into our world and taking our flesh and blood and teaching and healing and warning and dying and rising and promising to return, what a wonderful event. And for the arrival of those wise men struggling and traveling and searching and giving. What a wonderful example they provide, showing us that we are, that you are for all the world and not just for the Jews. And thank you, Lord, for the lesson of this morning. We all come our own way, some after great struggle, some with relative ease. But we all come seeking your forgiveness, yearning to know you better. Teach us, Lord, to love our sisters and brothers and to accept the natural differences among us, to dwell and build upon our common needs and common goals. Thank you for the joy and challenge of your church. And thank you for those who have joined us, and thank you for those who will join us in the future. We pray with expectation in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.